You are listening to the Mindful Marketing Show podcast, episode 13.
Welcome to the Mindful Marketing Show with Kimberly Maska. You are about to be empowered as we teach you the best marketing strategies used by today's spiritual entrepreneurs. Get ready to share your message and inspire people worldwide.
Hello, I am Kimberly Maska, your Mindful Marketer, and I would like to welcome you to the relaunch of the Mindful Marketing Show, the podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs who are ready to change the world with their gift and have a business that reflects their authentic self. To celebrate the relaunch, I have a free gift for you. It is the Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business Guide. In it, you will find all of the tools you need to, well, jumpstart your spiritual business and create an abundance of time, money, and freedom. Don't wait to share your gift with the world. Get your copy of Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business today at mindfulmarketingshow.com. Now, before we jump in, this episode is brought to you by Kickstart Cart, my shopping cart of choice for myself and my clients. It has everything you need to create the business of your dreams with passive income, or as I like to call it, making money while you meditate. Picking the right shopping cart for your business is a big deal, and it can be very confusing. So what I have done is created a free workshop for you to help you through the decision-making process. You can find this free shopping cart workshop at mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. That is mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. Now let's listen to this episode. Enjoy. Hello and welcome to Mindful Marketing. This is your host, Kimberly Maska. Today we have joining us Robbie Firestone. Robbie is living her passion and is a creative force who refuses to accept labels. She creates spirit capture oil portraits in which she focuses on the sitter's physical likeness and inner beauty. She paints what she likes to call the beauty I see in you. Firestone's passion is to inspire women to live more authentic, self-expressive lives every day. Welcome, Robbie, and thank you so much for joining me today on Mindful Marketing. How are you?
I am so good. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So I have been looking at your portraits online and reading a bit of your blog, and I am fascinated by your spirit capture portraits. How did you start down that road? What's your personal story to go down that path?
To go down the path of doing spirit capture portraits?
Spirit portraits, and then in your Inspiring Women blog, and how did you take this mind, body, spirit business to the next level?
Well, I've always been very creative. It's been very important to me in my life to be self-expressive. So the portraits really came to pass when in high school, was a great lover of drawing portraits. And then, of course, it wasn't a legitimate thing, quote-unquote. So moved into, the liberal arts college that. And then one day, actually, a friend of mine gave me an easel and 20 canvases. He loved me very much, and he said, I know you have this in you. Mess up every canvas. And that was my goal, mess up 20 canvases. And the first one I did was actually alarmingly decent as a piece. And then I manifested a teacher. I said, all right, Spirit, I want a teacher. I went to sort of one of those flea markets in L.A., ran into this artist that I was just so moved by. I asked him if he taught. And the first painting I did in his studio was really good. So it was like, There was something in me all along that just really needed a great mentor and guide, the permission to do the work, and then the courage to keep going, even when it wasn't good or right. It just felt right. So that's how I started, I think.
That's very neat. It's amazing when we have that inside of us and to bring it out. That's such a beautiful experience.
Yeah, I think surrounding ourselves with people, there's just a yes when we say, like, we love something and we want to do it. I think that's been a real key to my life, is always surrounding myself with people who support my passions in a really true and non-competitive way.
And non-competitive, I love that. That's because sometimes you can have people around you that support, but it's always not the best kind of support. So that's
exactly.
Yeah. So what was the step where you took this from loving it and it's a passion to now it's a business? Was there a turning point?
Absolutely. I was painting models in this studio, and they were good. And then one of the models asked me if she could buy it. So I think I sold my first painting for $300 or something like that. It was quite good. And so I thought, wow, well, that's interesting. I'll just try to sell these to the models from now on. So I priced them where I thought the models could buy them. And then at one point, I had the courage to paint someone who said, I'd like you to do a commission, and maybe I charge $400 or $500 for that. And the fascinating thing for me has always been to recognize when I'm afraid and to just push past that. So that was the way I was with my paintings and receiving money for them. So I would say, ooh, okay, I got $500 for that. That was kind of uncomfortable. What would be uncomfortable next? Well, what if I asked for $700? And then I would ask for $700. And I would keep pushing myself toward success, and it was always uncomfortable, and still is in certain ways. Although my confidence is much higher, my success level is much higher. And then at one point, it was really about making the leap, can I do this full time? And as always, you know, being an entrepreneur in business is very scary, especially when I'm not only running the business, but I'm also producing, quote unquote, the art or the product. It's sort of like having two careers at once, being an artist and being an entrepreneur. And I'm always balancing that. And I pray that, you know, someday the bottom doesn't fall out and I have to go back to being a waitress. But fortunately, because I've also gotten really aware of putting money away and making sure I'm always investing, hopefully that will never happen.
That's key. And I like how we talk about that, you know, even though you're following your passion, you're still the entrepreneur. And I always try and like drive that home. Like we can still be we're on mind, body, spirit, entrepreneur journeys. And we have to remember that, which is, will help us get us through it all.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting to me, Kimberly, because artists will often ask me, oh, will you manage my career? And I kind of laugh because I'm like, you know, I have no idea. I'm doing 16-hour days managing my own career. And thank you. It's a compliment because people understand that I get marketing and all that stuff. However, I had a teacher. I don't know if you've ever heard of T. Harv Eker and the Millionaire Mind Intensive. Have you ever heard of him?
Yes, I have actually.
Yeah. So I'm a big student of his work. I think the Millionaire Mind Intensive is an incredible schooling for mind, body, spirit people and mind, body, spirit entrepreneurs. Because he comes at it very spiritually. But one of the things that he said was, don't own a television don't watch television until you are financially free. And I took that very seriously. I actually lived in New York City at 17 years old and didn't have a TV then just because I couldn't afford it. Couldn't afford one through college and was always working full-time, two jobs, or full-time and school. So I never really had time, and as I got older, obviously, I was able to afford a television and everything, but I had been in the habit of not watching it, and I listened to these people who spend 3-4 hours a day watching television, and I spend that 3-4 hours a day reading and learning about investing, learning about marketing, learning about all these other things, plus keeping my spiritual practices intact, and that, I think, has been a real nature of my success, also creatively. I'm not influenced by what's out in the media, but what's internal. So that was a great takeaway I got from one of those mind, body, spirit teachers about entrepreneurialism.
That's great. And I think we can even apply that today, unfortunately, to like social media and being on the computer, yeah. Right? It's the same thing. It can.
Agreed. I actually have a kitchen timer behind my computer that whenever I go on Facebook, I set myself at 5 minutes. And when the kitchen timer goes off, I'm off Facebook.
That's great. That's great. And I'll throw this out for my listeners. There's also an app that's free. It's called Toggle, T-O-G-G-L. And for any entrepreneur that wants to track their time, you can put in whatever it is. And it just sits there on your desktop and it counts the time. So you can see how long you've been doing each task. And that really drives things home. And I do that. And then at the end of the week, it gives you a summary and you look, and you're like, wow, I spent a lot of time on something I shouldn't have been.
Thank you for that. I'm going to install that app today. I'm going to have my assistant and I work with that.
It's really good. And it's great, especially as an entrepreneur, to keep track. And like I'm dealing with clients and stuff. And when you're talking with people, you know exactly where your time went. Super helpful.
Yeah. What a great tool for the 80-20 rule, right?
Yep, exactly.
Oh, yikes. Now I'm a little scared. And it's Toggle, T-O-G-G-E-L.
It's actually T-O-G-G-L. There's no E in there. It's kind of it's a little funny. So it's T-O-G-G-L.
Great.
Yeah, sure. Awesome. Absolutely. So we were talking about, you mentioned they're studying marketing and stuff in your spare time when you're not watching television. So what strategy has worked best for you to grow your business?
I meet people a lot of times at philanthropic events because I also am very passionate about giving back. And or when I'm out and about at events, I meet people, and the people I really connect with, I actually write personal notes to on note cards that are branded and sort of give a little description of my work. And I establish sort of an intimate relationship with those very quickly. And then I also drive through social media, schedule posts, and letting people know about what's happening. I'm fortunate at this point, I get a lot of press, which is obviously a great driver for value of my work. And lastly, I would say social media. Oh, and then my newsletter. Essentially, usually monthly or every couple months, I send out a newsletter, but where I'm contributing. It's not like buy my stuff. It's a pondering that I've had for that month about something. And then I ask and engage. How is, I think the last one I wrote last month was asking about, where are you not seeing beauty in your life where you can? Mm. You know, where are you limiting beauty in your life? And so it's nice because oftentimes people write me back and respond. And it's a very engaging, interactive experience that I have with people who enjoy my business and what I'm doing. It keeps the relationships really rich.
Yeah, the engagement is so key. Actually, it's funny, I just released a video today. I do mindful marketing tips, and the one that went out today is about engagement, is the new SEO. Because the more engagement you have, the higher your ranking and your contact with your people.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, I find that to be true.
So key. And I like how you mentioned the personal note cards, too. I do thank you cards. That little personal interaction makes such a difference.
It really does. I think people are almost shocked to get something in the post now.
Yep.
Mail. And I know I am. I never get anything the post that, you know, lovely, that sweet. I mean, except for checks, which are lovely and sweet. But I love those. But it's even better when there's a little memo on it. Love my painting. Handwritten.
That's great.
There's something beautiful about handwriting. There's an art in and of itself, and I think at this point when people handwrite to me, it is almost like receiving a little gift of art.
Yes.
You know, a little gift of their soul.
So in the mind, body, spirit arena, what do you think are the specific marketing challenges we face?
The two specific marketing challenges I have found as a mind, body, spirit entrepreneur are one, the money monk concept, the idea that money is somehow not of spirit. Somehow everything in the world we see as a communication from spirit or something we can receive from spirit, and yet not money. As if it's some evil thing. And I think that is a true disadvantage for those of us who really focus on spirituality, because so many teachings act as if money is bad or supposed to give all of our money away. I like to come to the idea of living from the overflow. So I make enough to sustain and nurture my life, my creativity, my family, my well-being. And then from that overflow, I'm able to give and give and give. Because if I cannot sustain myself well, there's nothing to give. You know, there's nothing left over to give. There's a huge lesson for me in that. I can, if you want to talk more about that. The second point that has come to surface very much for me lately is the nice girl or nice guy. You know, when we're kids, or when I was a kid, I was taught to be nice. You know, be nice, brother. Be a nice girl. And that was super emphasized for me because my mother died when I was 3 years old, and I had to do everything right because I was afraid that I had killed her. She had cancer. That's just something that happens in motherless daughters. So I was nice, overly nice. And that really moved into my business in terms of not wanting to talk to people about money, because the nice girl doesn't talk about money. The nice girl doesn't want anything. She just gives and gives and gives. And I recently was reading a terrible story about a photographer in New York City, a Vogue photographer, who was taking advantage of young models for 20, 30 years.
Wow.
Because they were nice and they wanted their career and stories are now surfacing about how terrible this man's been over the course of time. And I thought, I was a young model in New York City as well. And when I was a kid, and I think about the times that I put myself in positions that were jeopardizing because I didn't want to offend him or offend her.
Right.
And I have come to the realization that I am deeply compassionate, loving, and kind, that I am no longer nice.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. The nice girl has now been put in a closet. And I say hi to her and thank you for helping me survive, and you get to sit in there now. And especially dealing with money. No, I provide an amazing service. I create extraordinarily beautiful artwork from my heart. It's what I'm meant to do, and you deserve to pay me. Thank you very much. I love you, and thank you. You know?
That is, I love that. I mean, that is so perfect because there was, and I, you know, I'm going to not remember the gentleman's name, but there was a doctor that was on Oprah years ago that they talked about that, you know, at some point you just can't be nice because people will take advantage. But I love that you're loving and compassionate, but not nice. That's beautifully said.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a maturity for me in that. And it just works for me.
Yeah, that's great. Something we should all take note on, for sure.
Yeah, a direct but compassionate communication.
Right.
And that's something I get to work on.
Yeah. So stepping back to a little more marketing stuff, what works best for you in engaging with your customers? You're a little different. A lot of times I'm talking with coaches and stuff who are engaging a lot differently. So it's probably a little bit of a different process for you. But when you engage with them, is there a certain something? Is it their newsletters that they're seeing, your website? Is it Facebook? What works best for you for finding out who your customers are and what they want?
Well, my customer usually contacts me on the phone or face-to-face. It's a direct communication. Because I'm selling trust. I'm selling a white canvas, and they pay me 50% before I even put paint on canvas.
Right.
So usually it's a long selling cycle, and people have been following me for a long period of time. I have a gentleman who I recently presented a portrait in Virginia, and I painted his wife's portrait after he and I had known each other for 7 years. We met on safari in Africa, actually. And I sent a newsletter out, and he said, oh, you know, he wrote me an email back. Oh, this is interesting. Maybe we'll do this next year. And I wrote back, why not this year? And well, these are the dates I'm available. And so that was a real personal engagement that we've had for a long period of time. He follows my Facebook. He reads my newsletters. He stayed interested in my work. He stayed interested in who I am, and then hired me. And then also hired me a couple of years later to paint his own portrait as well. So they are complimentary. Mine is deeply, deeply personal. It's based on trust. It's based that not only will I paint something that is honorable of them, but also that it will actually get done.
Right.
You know? That they will receive, you know, a final.
Very cool. And that's actually so nice that it is a personal thing. Like, how rewarding is that as your passion and then having that really deep personal connection with people? That's really nice.
Yeah, it gets very, very intimate. I'm also a licensed counselor. So everyone I work with, I say to them, everything that's said in this room is absolutely how special.
Okay.
You know, so we often get into things that are very, very deep and very deep.
Nice. So what has been your biggest challenge with marketing, you think?
My biggest challenge with marketing, I think, honestly, probably spending more time on marketing than I should. Perhaps doing busy work rather than effective work.
Mm.
Focus is my biggest challenge overall, and I would say that in marketing.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's so hard to...
If I focus on the 20% that really, really works and let everything else rest, I would probably be in a better position.
Right. So looking back on your journey in creating your business, what would you have done differently knowing what you know now?
That is a very good question. I would be nicer to myself. Nice, there's that word again. I'd be kinder to myself. I would do less busy work. I would spend more time in the studio creating from more integrity rather than less rush.
Mm.
You know, this is a hard question for me because I'm really examining it right now, contemplating this in my own life.
Right.
I think, you know, the judgmentalism that I have about my work, you know, oh, that's a lovely red mark, or ooh, that blue doesn't belong there. It's very, very easy to judge my work, and I've actually created a sacred space in front of my easel now where it's the meditative space. I spent an entire year working on non-judgment of the work.
Hmm.
And keep letting it come through. So their painting is very much a spiritual process.
Right. Non-judgment, we could all use that a little bit more in everything.
Yeah, being more compassionate with myself. And also, I think I have a tendency, I love people so very much. I think really focusing on relationships that deepen and enrich my experience as a human, as an artist, as a businesswoman, rather than busy work related to people.
Right.
And, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Beautifully said. So do you have any last bit of advice for listeners that have their passion burning inside of them and they just, what advice can you give them so they know to follow their passion and their life journey into creating their business?
You know, as for passion versus making a living, the reality is that most of us get really practical as we're leaving childhood and into those launching years, and they think, oh, the passion doesn't matter. I'm going to just pursue this business and make money. And, you know, to master something, what is it, 10,000 hours to master?
Right.
And so one spends a lot of our 20s, 30s mastering something that we don't like. And, or not mastering it, but spending those mastery hours on something that we'll never master because there is no passion behind it. What I like to tell young people, and well, young anyone really, is that the more time we spend doing that which we do not love, we are mastering that which we do not love, and eventually we're going to have to let that go and build our next 10,000 hours toward what we do love. Because you're inevitably going to either choose that passion at some point in your life, or die exhausted that you never did. So why master that which doesn't give us joy? Why not just go straight to and really commit to mastery of that which we love, even if it's an hour a day after the day job, you know, or an hour a morning before the day job? Just making sure that we're putting in those hours of clarity and focus towards what we really want in our life.
Yeah. Less hour of television or social media, and there you are.
Exactly. That is so true. That it anesthetizes our own creativity, because when we're watching that which other people create, we can be inspired by them. Yes, I go to art galleries all the time, and after I see music events or what have you, I want to rush to my studio and paint because I'm inspired by someone else's mastery of a creative form and a creative expression, so it saves me. Yet, a lot of times, media, mass media, is not actually feeding us creativity. It's stripping us of our own thoughts and our own desires and projecting external whims on us. And, that's really, for me, it's very poignant and very real. Not that, you know, I had one friend that defended and said, I want to be very creative. Yes, you are. This is just what I'm saying from my experience, on my life, I choose this other thing.
Yep.
So, you know. Okay. Of course, last night I watched Tarzan on Netflix because my dear friends were writers on that. So, like, what a great movie, you know.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So if any of my listeners wanted to see these amazing portraits that you do or read your blog, where would they find you?
They can go to RobbieFirestone.com or the website youarethemasterpiece.com. I do speaking engagements and workshops and private retreats at my studio. So that's the youarethemasterpiece.com. And portraits can be seen at RobbieFirestone.com.
Fantastic. And I think we should mention, too, that the retreats and things you do are all about being creative and painting, right?
Yeah, well, it's about inspiring and empowering women to be more creative in their everyday lives. So I do a dream journaling or vision journaling workshop, and I actually customize creative retreats for people. So if someone isn't interested in painting but is interested in other aspects of creativity, I have tons of resources where I customize a program for someone.
Oh, nice.
I do that for corporate events and all kinds of things. So
that's brilliant.
And painting, of course, can be a part of that.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for your time. This has been a fantastic interview.
Kimberly, thank you for asking me. I feel really honored that you, someone of your caliber, would ask me to participate in your radio show. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
I had a great time.
Thank you.
You have been listening to The Mindful Marketing Show with me, your host, Kimberly Maska. You can get more information about this episode and all of my episodes at mindfulmarketingshow.com. There you will find all of the show notes and links to the books and business resources we discussed. Again, that's mindfulmarketingshow.com. Until next time, be passionate, be inspired, and live your dream. Have a beautiful day.